no big deal.
Yeah?
Little round.
Okay. I need this, but I'll need to talk to you about
this. Good morning and welcome. Today is Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. It is 10 a.m. This is the Gosling County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion. We have item 1, which is coordination letters, brought to us by Councilor Hicks. Item number 2 is creation of a forest trust, dedicated revenues to juvenile detention shelter, brought to us by Ms. Commissioner Morgan and Arthur O'Hare. So ready update, Colleen Padilla is going to be here at 11. And there's nothing else. We'll get started with the coordination letters.
Okay, so good morning, board. And so before I get into the particulars of coordination, starting with the large concept and working our way down to what the letters actually are, I should come right out with the most important point. So if you remember nothing else I say today about coordination, the most important thing from my perspective is that coordination is a requirement of the federal government, not of the county government.
So they're breaking their own rules.
That's generally our allegation, yes. Yes, this is a requirement of the federal government upon federal officials to follow federal law. And the county is basically has no obligations here whatsoever. But to put the federal government on notice, we do send letters annually, and the letters are typically in this kind of draft format, this format that you've been presented here today and updated for this year. But we'll get to that down the line.
Can you ask a question? People construe that the state is also required to coordinate with the county, and the only reference that I've seen to the federal is like Article 43 of the Federal Land Policy Management Act of 1976. That's where we inherit coordination requirement for the Fed. There isn't
something comparable.
I am not familiar with anything at the state that requires coordination. Are you?
Yeah. And I can get you the precise answer on that, but my understanding is that there's a statute, little used, regarding land use, that which is kind of logical, that the state basically can't come down with a land use regulation, generally speaking, without sort of coordinating or consulting with the affected jurisdictions.
Okay.
So I think there's a statute on that.
Can you talk a little bit about what coordination is and what it isn't? Because I think it's often...
Or people think it's cooperation or this...
Yeah,
a lot of stuff. When, you hold their feet to the fire and they've got to do what we tell them to do.
Certainly. Okay, so coordination is all contained within the realm of a federal natural resources policy and the rules that flow from the federal government to govern federal natural resources. So we're talking exclusively about what the federal government is doing on federal property when dealing with coordination. And, of course, because the bulk of federal property does have natural resources of varying values, the federal government's rules, policy, and decisions regarding its use of the natural resources or the access that it provides to them is usually where the subject of coordination comes up. So, in a nutshell, FLTMA, the federal kind of overriding land use statutory scheme, requires that the federal government, to the extent practicable, coordinate with the affected jurisdictions when it's making decisions regarding its natural resources.
So in other words, if they're going to say, no, we're not going to cut anymore, they have to come to the county because they're an affected jurisdiction.
Or let's try to mitigate.
And try to say, this is what we're going to do.
It's the differences between our plan and their plan.
Right.
If we have a plan and it talks about, trees management, but doesn't talk about anything else, and they come to us with their transportation management plan that says we're not going to allow off-road vehicles anymore on public domain land in Josephine County.
Is that federal public domain?
Oh yeah.
They can't go on to.
No.
They can't stop.
It's only a policy
timber sale because.
It's only a policy management on their land.
Federal land.
But they're going to say they we're not going to let any off-road vehicles, whatever, on public domain land. And we look into our coordination plan, and it doesn't have anything about off-road vehicles on public lands. Like, okay, there's no inconsistency there. So there's no issue for the feds. They came, they coordinated, and
if it doesn't affect us, so go ahead.
No.
Well,
you're not.
We didn't tell them that we disagree.
It's not in our plan, our adopted coordination plan, that says something of a difference. The way I read the FLTMA in Article 43, there's no problem for the feds there. Now we can go through the, they have to tell us.
Do we update our plan ever?
We have a little. They have to, we have twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to tell us when they're thinking about considering changing their management strategy.
Yes.
Not when they get it done, when they're out here for public comment. They are not included in that time frame.
Yeah.
Ours starts when they are considering.
While they're thinking.
Yeah. That's the whole point of it. They're supposed to coordinate with us while formulating the plan.
Exactly.
And the rules that, of course, flow afterward.
If they've ever done anything that resembles coordination, they've never done anything that even resembles coordination, because they have always come in after the fact and say, oh, here's your opportunity to comment.
And all they're looking for is to check the box that did you check with the county? Yeah, I did. I'm not going to listen to them. There's no requirement for them to listen to it to us.
Coordination requires them to do that.
The coordination requires them to do that.
Before they make up their mind.
Try to mitigate challenges.
Make up their mind.
Inconsistencies. That's exactly the language. Mitigate inconsistencies between the county's plan, management strategy plan, and their proposed change.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely be interested in looking at our management plan.
Or a coordination plan.
Mm-hmm. And seeing if there are elements, you know, because I have heard from the public. They don't like that recreational vehicles are not allowed on federal land. It's not that we can add that now.
There is recreational vehicles allowed under the Forest Services and BLM's Transportation Management Plan. You can bring recreation vehicles out everywhere. Not on monuments or there's a restriction on off-road vehicles, anything mechanized. You can't even take a bike. And, you know, the expansion of the Gordon Cave National Monument.
Yeah.
You can take up to 6 horses, but you can't take a bike, a mountain bike, or anything else.
Well, and it is interesting because I've seen that around here growing up. We're out Spencer Creek or Devil Slide. People used to ride bikes all the time. And slowly, the deputy that's assigned to BLM has been kicking people out of places. And saying no recreational here anymore in different places in Jackson. So it's probably more monument related than
probably. And exercising coordination after a management strategy has been adopted is not
But forestry, I want, you know, where are we at with that?
That's when you litigate because they didn't coordinate.
Right.
So it's actually been a really, Wally and I have been working on this since he's been in office. For a long time, about how we utilize that. So there were two, as an example of how we can use it to benefit us, there were two counties that elected not to coordinate, cooperate, when they were developing the resource management plan, the BLM, for the last 4 years. We didn't sign up. We didn't show up to their meetings. I showed up to the first one and said, this is a dumb point show. I'm out of here.
Let me push you on pause.
Yeah.
So we can context. Okay, so the way the BLM gets around coordination or attempts to is by signing up, enlisting counties to become cooperating agencies. And notice it's a word that sounds like coordination, but it's not. It's cooperation. And so that's how they kind of say, well, we don't really have to coordinate because you've been a cooperating agency.
Right, because you've taken yourself out of that. You've moved yourself over here without even knowing.
Yes.
Abrogated your authority to coordinate, to cooperate.
That's BLM's take on it. And what Simon was just saying was that of the ONC counties, 16 were cooperating agencies. By their own action, they signed up to do that. And Josephine and Jackson deliberately did not become cooperating agencies.
So
it gave us an opening.
Did Jackson County send any similar letters?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I was wondering for. You only want
to. They used to. I don't know what their board is doing now.
Okay.
They should.
They should.
If they were the
there's
only
no
two,
requirement.
We're going to continue that on. Or we're
there's no requirement that we send letters. We just want a record of the fact that they couldn't say, they didn't hear, they didn't know. I mean, it's their law. Mr. Morgan said, it's like us not knowing our charter. Just because somebody didn't send us a letter and say, you can't do this because of the charter, doesn't mean we are free to not abide by the charter.
I think it's imperative that you send these letters every so often just so that we're still in the room.
We do it every year. Yeah. We have, I think, since I've been here, and Wally's put more teeth in them.
Mm-hmm.
We've adopted that one of the last amendments that we did to the coordination plan is when it was first adopted, it did not include the ONC Act, the Oregon State Forest Practices Act.
There were
a couple of things that it
narrow withdrawals were addressed in the most recent amendment, I think.
Yeah.
The county is especially opposed, formally opposed to further mineral withdrawals.
It's in our plan. Without the conversation, you know, tell us why you have to,
but the blanket opinion is no.
The big concern, though, is that the state is the one who claims access or authority over the waterways. So even if it's on federal lands, they still have a say over saying stop because of the waterways.
Okay. The state and the feds both have their own mechanisms. I would suggest that, yeah, of course, state coordination doesn't have any meaning to state authorities, nor should a federal law be on federal authority. But there is a lot going on with federal treatment of water. There's the Waters of the U.S. case.
Yeah, that's huge.
It is. It is huge. And I don't want to get digress too much into it unless you really want to hear more. But
there's a lot of points of contact in the law and the legislation where this would be really helpful if there was some local coordination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think my biggest concern is you've had 6 years to get familiar with this. And obviously it's been introduced to Dan and I, but we have a lot to kind of bring ourselves up to speed. I know that the 1976, I want to read that. You know, I know it's thick, you know, but I want to make myself familiar.
No shortage of things to read.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, the amount of
notebooks around here. You don't have to everything. It's just portions of it that matter.
Well, and I think that's part of it is how do we find that? What's the ones we need to know to start with?
We're all never going to become experts on every subject. So what I would suggest is what I petitioned for, Paul and I both probably petitioned for the last board for 4 years, was you need to set up a coordination committee. There's nobody who is effective in the nation utilizing coordination without a coordination committee. I can't think of a one. Baker County has one. Hawaii County, I visited them 3 years ago, they have one. There's 60 members on their coordination committee. They don't all, there's like probably a focal committee, and then there's subcommittees. You got the bike people, you got the horse people, you got, you know, everybody. The fly fishermen, everybody has their own little, and they track that for you. They track the legislation at the federal. They check the policies there. You know, everybody's on that list. Or
I can think of a lot of groups in the community that would be interested in that. I'm thinking of SORA. I'm thinking of our mining advisory. Yeah. Just different people that have made up a bunch of groups.
Put them all together.
Why aren't we having that?
Because I can't do it by myself.
Ah, I see.
I need a board to endorse.
Well, let's wait so he still can just be a part of it.
I would really, it should be, I think it would be a great goal.
I think so.
I think what we need to do, if we're going to need that coordination committee, we need to generate excitement in the fly fishermen, for instance, and then hiking, biking, the horse trail people, and, you know, even the off-road. I mean, you get up in the...
Yeah, they're fired up.
...amateur campground.
You mentioned... What you don't get to go on, they're fired up. All you have to do is tell them there's an outlet.
And
we're going to provide an invite to BLM.
We need to join forces.
Yep.
I'll give an example. I don't know where Steve's Creek Trail is, Steve Fork, up above Applegate Dam.
Oh, okay.
We used to ride motorcycles into Lonesome Lake in a day. Like, we'd take our kid then and go camping.
Neat.
All of a sudden, you can't take the motorcycles in there anymore because the horse people took it over. Well, then 2 years it took for that trail to start growing over, and the horse people called BLM and said, "What are you going to clean out?" I said, "We've never cleaned it out." Mm-hmm. So, well, we used to keep it clean. He said, "The motorcycle people, and you won't let them in there."
Yeah.
So, guess what? You take your chainsaw and hope the horse doesn't run off when you start it.
Yeah.
So then they got, after about 10 years, it was almost completely grown over, and they said, "Can we talk to the motorcycle people again?" And they lifted that restriction, and now the motorcycle and ATV people take care of that. Exact same thing is happening up there above Hammaker. They've got a huge trail system up around Diamond Lake and all that. A huge trail system for snowmobiles and in the wintertime and ATVs in the summertime.
And isn't that all just been included in the monument? The
I don't know if it is or not. I don't think it went that far. I don't think it went that far.
Did Crater Lake monument get expanded? Okay.
But the main thing is, the key to that is that once you get all of those entities together and multiple use, now you've got some power.
Yeah.
Now you can be heard.
Yeah. And it takes the burden off of me, Lloyd, to follow these things. And, you know, I have my cost benefit analysis on working for the motorbikers so they can get in on that. I don't have time.
Not there.
But I could certainly go to a meeting. Host it, you know, with the BLM and bring them in. Be glad to do that.
We could be the conveners.
Exactly. That's what our job is. So I would like to, you know, if the board is endorses that as a goal for
that
this year.
I think that would be a good goal.
Totally achievable. We just grabbed one of the other committees, one of the other counties' committee lists, and, you know, we just put it out there and populate it, and there will be people applying for that. There have been people who have been talking about that for 6 years.
Yeah.
So
let's make it happen.
We had no shortage of people who signed up for the coordination committee to start it. Jack Swift was on that. King was the chair, I think, or Jack was the chair, one of those two people. And, you know, they don't all agree. That's the other thing. Is not everybody who agrees at that table.
And that's good.
Yeah.
It makes them, if you have diversity in the group and you can get them to consensus, think of how much more powerful that is.
True.
Now, not so diverse that you don't get anything done.
Right.
But you do have to be able to listen to all sides. And
ultimately, the policies, they don't adopt policy. We adopt policy.
Yes.
Yes. So they provide recommendations, and then, so they need to be tracking where we're tracking.
But they also need to know going in that the board is on their side and in favor of what they're doing.
Yeah. We want them here.
Yeah.
We need them here.
Well, and honestly, I hadn't even ever considered that there could be a coordination committee. And I knew that we were required to be at the table by the federal law.
No requirements whatsoever on the county.
They're required to be at the table.
Yeah, the federal is supposed to be at the table.
That's right.
And that we've been trying to enforce that or demand that they enforce their own law.
We're just better served by having that committee. So
but by
that.
Having that committee, yeah. Yeah, makes sense that we would actually be taking it serious.
Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert on off-road, but I've reviewed the travel management plan that the BLM just did. Forest Service is proposing to do them. They're doing their resource management plan develop. I'm not an expert, but as far as natural resources goes in Southern Oregon, I'm it probably for understanding those things. So, but I'd rather have a committee who can look at the specifics of it.
They bring their own
help.
They bring their own little piece of the pie.
It'd be invaluable.
You've got a steelhead fisherman, the steelheaders for a big group, but they're not the fly fishermen.
No.
Completely set up, different set of wants and requirements. Well, that's a good idea.
Okay. We'll work on that.
We shall, and in the meantime, so the letters look like they're ready to go from my perspective.
Okay.
Any further? Yeah, it's pretty much like last year.
So they just go through the weekly decision?
No. We can find them.
I can put it in the signature file if you're ready to.
I don't mind referencing or doing them. If they're ready, we can do it today.
Okay.
Under other.
The letters?
It's not a change in policy. It's not a budgetary thing. It's just something that I wouldn't mind highlighting.
Okay.
So you use their language of cooperation and the coordination.
Yeah. Well, of coordination.
In the interest of closer cooperation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But we do say, feeling our responsibility to coordinate with local governments pursuant. So.
Is it article? There's two articles in certain that reference.
There is.
You reference something other than Article 43, I've always, right?
There's Title 36 and Title 43.
Okay, we got BLM is Title 43.
Oh.
And Forest Service is Title 36. And also we send one to the. Yeah, Department of the Interior agencies, Fish and Wildlife, and BLM are Title 43.
Cool.
And then Title 36 is the
version.
As reflected in the letters.
Do you say anything about the fact that we are the most complex system of ownership in all Western counties? You know, there's no point where it matters more about what our neighbors are doing policy-wise. To any other county in the nation, I'd say, than us. It's because we share more border with BLM and the Forest Service, just county ownership, not even the private sector, but certainly the private sector. I bet we have more miles of shared boundary than anybody else. Josephine and Jackson County are one and two, or one, they're two, for the most complex system of ownership in all Western counties. They say 600, but I can't imagine there's more than 600 counties.
Going back on this, how does this affect, you know, I'm assuming that there will be something afoot that says they want to roll back that Tuscan National Monument that the President wrote in his last.
There is something afoot on that line. Yeah.
Can this come into that to say you never checked for us in the first place?
I think it can.
Because that I think would be very important to say, you know, from the get-go, you never checked for these two counties.
The only caveat would be that that was a, if it, you know, like a, other than the ONC nexus in that, that's a delegation of authority to Congress. 43 references agencies. Well, agencies are the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's, you know, it's a little bit different than asking just the office. I don't know that, I don't think the president has to court, I don't think Article 43 applies to him.
It's the secretary. It addresses the secretary of the interior.
But shouldn't it
be making that? Well,
I think it's the president.
The president. So he's
acting on information.
What's that?
He's acting on information.
Oh, absolutely.
On information. So before the information was compiled to give to the president to say, this is something we want to do, mm-hmm. It's BLM and the Forest Service and the Parks, National Parks, they're the ones that put this proposal together and didn't coordinate.
Right.
That's probably
I'm wondering if that should be letters added, though. Secretary of the Interior, President of the United States.
Send them directly to those two.
Add them to the list?
Well, BLM and Bureau.
I don't think it is the President.
President of the Interior. This is what we want to do in Oregon, and it's a good thing. They're the ones that didn't start the process of coordination. It's not the president. He may be assuming. Well, did you check with all those folks? Yeah, I did. Okay, fine, I'll sign it. He may have no idea that how we're being affected here. So I think if you're going to fire off a letter from me, it's got to be to the people that started this thing down the road. And that's those agencies like BLM, Forest Service, and Parks, I guess.
I don't think there's harm in sending the president a letter saying we are being affected by the BLM or the Department of the Interior not enforcing.
He's going to know we're filing potential litigation and that the ONC Association is.
Did he get his new BLM director in there yet?
I think he was approved by the committee.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if he was approved by the Senate yet. He was approved by the... It was approved by the committee, 16 to... It's out of committee. That one's not going to be that controversial. Not like the education secretary. I watched his... He did a two-hour and 24-minute. The guy was spot on. He was... That's how you want him to do.
Yeah.
That's like, well, everybody wants to hire that guy, you know? Yeah, there were four Democrats on the committee that voted for him. So that was a... It was a pretty good margin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was endorsed.
Okay.
Well, I'm just concerned about where these letters kicked in or who they're pointed to. It's at the very beginning of the process, not at the end.
So if you really want to go back to where the headwaters are,
it's
the environmental organizations who are putting pressure on members of Congress, Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley. So those people are directing the administration, who are directing the agency. So that's the headwaters. You know, if there was nobody on the ground advocating for that, it wouldn't happen. Agencies aren't going to do it on their own.
But shouldn't the agency say, no, we've got it, we have to, coordination kicked in here?
Yes, I suppose.
They should.
Yeah.
But they're under no obligation if we don't sort of push that back. They're just saying, it's there, but we've never looked at it before. We don't care about it.
Yeah.
That about sums it up.
Okay.
Well, and they would say that they did coordinate. They had all of these local elected officials who were saying, we endorse this in Southern Oregon. They were saying the county endorsed it and stuff like that, which was not true.
Not true.
You know? And then so Colleen Roberts, Holzer, the whole board held their town hall over there in Jackson, and they did one in Klamath, I think. And Tim Freeman came down and said some stuff, and I didn't go because that'd be all night. I can't waste the gas getting over there for something that nobody's listening to you anyway. But it was a good measure they need to, you know, at least put out there that they don't support it. So there was resolutions passed in Klamath and Jackson County in opposition to it. We didn't because I don't want to be repetitive. We already had we're on the books in so many different places of saying we don't endorse that. They didn't coordinate with us. Not that we wouldn't say it would have be a good or a bad idea. I don't know. They just didn't coordinate with us. So we'll work on that committee. Getting it started up probably small and it can grow. There's what I would envision is that there's a core of manageable number of people who represent the focus of natural resources coordination under the BLM and Forest Service in Josephine County. Other than that, the board would have the authority to designate subcommittees to focus on those other things. The number in Owyhee County is 90. They only have 60
people on it.
Owyhee?
Where's that?
It's in Idaho.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're probably nationally known for their coordination. Baker County is the one in the state besides Josephine that does a pretty good job.
We're often linked to Baker with the mining stuff as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're a good partner in that. Anyway, we'll move that forward.
Yep.
Thanks, Lloyd.
Yep. I'll be there tonight anyway. So,
okay. So you're going to get us the list of who would be in that committee, who those...
Not...
What not organizations really. Would be...
We'll provide a list of how we think it should be populated, but not who specifically.
Right.
But like, you know, recreation, timber management.
Which facets do you want?
Yes.
The horse people, the hikers, bikers, and so on and forth.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Right. We'll take a look at a couple of other coordination committees and draw from them.
Yes.
And then go with that. I don't believe there is another coordination committee on the west side. I'm almost 100% sure there isn't. So we'll be the first ones, and we were the first ones to coordinate, and they started doing that too. And we probably, that would be a rural conference kind of a thing of bringing these counties together and educating them, you know, putting Wally up there and saying, hey, give us 10 minutes, 20 minutes on coordination, what you can, can't do, and what it means. That would be great. I'm always shopping them out.
Sure.
I'm very interested in that rural county conference. And I'm going to need to know how to go forward on that.
We need to set up a strategy of...
I want to work a formula. If my formula works, if it's acceptable, Jackson County is not a rural county.
Yeah, it would be tough.
Population versus land map. And there's a formula you don't fit the bill.
My thought was is I wouldn't want to restrict anybody from wanting to be at the table.
Mm-hmm.
They have all of our issues and more, with us being a metro-focused kind of a thing. And I think if you separate yourself out too much, there's just nobody there. They've got some powerful people connections. I don't know, we'd have to talk about it, but
yeah.
I wouldn't mind if Lane County, you know, they're so vast. They're one of their Jay from their district in Lane County. He's got all our issues. He wouldn't want to be left out, you know, but maybe not all the commissioners. They have five.
But when you get to Lane County and you say, boy, he's got all of our issues, but he also has some of his own issues that ties into Salem, Portland, mm-hmm. Metropolitan, because he's got the metropolitan issues that because everybody focuses so much on the urban side of it, that the rural side gets this called rural county caucuses, and I don't consider Lane to be a rural county.
I
don't consider Jackson to be.
But it has rural areas, though.
What I envision is that
we all have rural areas
that were focused on just rural issues. You know, AOC champions a lot of metro issues. We wouldn't do that. We would only focus on rural issues. And if you have rural issues in Washington County, sign up. You know, come be part of this. If we had all 36 counties championing rural issues, that sounds pretty good, you know, especially if we just focused on these three land use issues that happen in the rural part of Washington County needs to get solved.
My sister lives in a rural area of Clackamas County.
Yeah.
She is in the middle of
Portland. They have more small woodlot owners in Clackamas County, I think, than any other county in the state. It blew me away. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. They have 5,000 small woodlot owners. In Clackamas County. Anyway.
But I hear you as far as
crazy stats.
Yeah, it's unexpected,
right?
So do we need to get that on an agenda to maybe just talk about what do we want the strategy? So then from there we can go from do we invite other people? So I would support starting a strategy session.
Perfect. Okay. We'll add that to the list.
You want to stick around for the next topic?
I would. Because you're going to be...
I'll be in the middle of that one, too.
Did you coordinate?
He's not retired to
coordinate. I was trying to think. We're doing our thingamabobber tonight, right?
And as soon as he gets done here, be recuperating.
On the agenda tonight. What was that proclamation? Was that tonight? Okay. Well, I wore orange for the proclamation tonight, dang it.
Great.
Okay. All right.
It was the teen dating violence awareness was orange with the colors.
Okay. So Commissioner Morgan put this on the agenda for today. It's something that I've kind of been wanting to develop for quite some time. To go back, we needed to get an inventory of the lands that we manage and then develop a long-term strategy. And one of the challenges that I saw with Mr. Brown, Vic's predecessor, I ran into Vic 2 days ago running on Cathedral Hill, and then Mr. Streeter, is that, so this is the seventh and eighth commissioner I served with. Your guys' perspective on forest management could be vastly different than Commissioner Hex or Reed's or Howden's. Carson Elliott or Reed's, Ellis, it's just, that's not a way to manage a 60 or 80 year rotation on the forest. So getting something that says you're charged with these specific outlines being very general and, so to speak, sustained yield management. Your revenues, your priority is to generate revenue. It's not for multiple use. You know, those kinds of designations that we saw in the ONC Act, the benefit of those county lands is to provide for revenues to pay for county vital county services. We put that question out to the voters in 2012. Is forest management an appropriate revenue generating capacity, whatever it was called?
And the result of that was yes?
Yes, overwhelming. It was go forth and manage timber.
So the next step would be?
Putting all that together, in my opinion, in an ordinance that governs how the forest manager will manage those lands, and then boards step back and kind of say.
His instruction is to manage the lands for revenue, as a revenue stream, not
with,
a park.
With sustainable yield.
Yes,
conforming
you know,
with all the
right
language. Forest Practices Act.
In other words, so it's not a park, it's not dedicated to being a park, it's dedicated to land being, okay, grow that tree. How do I most effectively grow that tree?
Absolutely.
And turn that tree into revenue?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Good summary.
Manage those lands.
I'm sure I'm going to get Marvin right.
For the maximum production.
Right.
So he needs, what we've talked about is, sometimes he's going to invest money where he's not going to see a return on it. You know, he's going to go in and clean up a couple hundred acres, and there's no value coming out of that.
No.
But I would say, Dave, if that's a piece of the portfolio you want to keep, and it's not growing trees to the maximum output, you're required by this ordinance to put it in the rotation to get it to growing trees again.
Well, he explained to me the
life.
How trees, the life cycle of a tree.
Yeah.
And that first one where you're a city, you planted a bunch of trees, and you're going to have to cut a bunch of the ones that you planted, and you have to cut them out so that you get that second growth spurt.
Yep.
And the third growth spurt. That's management. And to a lot of people, they go, well, what are you doing cutting all those little trees down? You planted them, it's a waste of money. No. They had to protect each other until they got to age 10.
Yeah.
And then from 10 to 22, they protect each other, and then they need to grow by themselves.
Yep.
So it was interesting because I didn't look at it from that standpoint. But you guys are right. You're going to be doing stuff for a few years, and guess what? It's a total loss. But you're really looking to, well, how am I going to get the most out of that?
Yeah.
When that's your mandate, is you figure out what you need to do to get the most out of that stand, that's important. And that's, I guess, what we're trying to do here.
Probably lands for future life, for future revenues.
Yep.
Well, and that was it, how he was describing me as well, as far as how do you get the most. At this point, you're now losing growth, you're losing
diminishing returns.
Correct. And so making a plan to that best sustainable revenues and stuff like that. So
there's a whole myriad of things that need to be considered, and that you can't harvest more than your annual growth rate is a principle of sustained yield. Sustained yield means a lot of different things, but there are certain things that you have to specify, that you don't have all one age class, that you've got, you know, trees that are 1 year old all the way through the spectrum. If you don't have a distributed age class, then you're going to have fluctuations in your revenue streams when they come to maturity.
They won't all hit maturity. If they'll hit maturity at the same time, you've got a big boost.
And you've got a 30-year void before something else comes on.
Do we have enough physical land to keep that up?
Yeah.
And
our portfolio currently is fairly well distributed. We did a distributed sampling, but the sampling was only 10%. This is another thing, that it would be mandated in the ordinance to maintain the inventory over time. Predecessors did not do that. The previous inventory was done in 96, and it wasn't even to the level that we did. But I don't want to have to spend $100,000 every couple of years because you didn't do it. It wasn't part of your...
Keeping your inventory current so you know what you have as you go is cheaper.
It takes about 10 years. So if we did 10% in that one, he's expecting to try to do 8 or 10% the next year. And after.
So every plot will be visited every 10 years.
That's the goal.
So in order for him to have long-term planning, is the ordinance the best route for us? Is there something else we need to do?
I've thought about it, and Wally and I and Arthur have had pretty good discussions on it. It doesn't mean that you can't change it. It just means that you're going to have to wait. You can't just dictate a new board gets elected tomorrow. If you had the same process of adopting it to repealing it.
Yeah.
So you'd have to have the two readings, 13-day separation, 90 days, the potential to be referred to the voters after that.
A lot of checkpoints along the way.
There's a little bit of a pause before you just say, Dave, go cut every tree you have out there. We need revenue.
We need one.
As opposed to a board order, which can be repealed
like that.
Like two commissioners agree, show up one more, and re-review it, gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. An ordinance requires pause and their ability to say, I don't want you to cut every... We can cut every single tree tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But then it's 80 years before we've got... And you can't... There is no passport closed on the county that we give it up to somebody else for the liability. If you're paying ODF $2.53 an acre on 30,000 acres for 80 years, that's not something, no revenue. Plus you've got to reforest all of it.
You'll end up everything you got in that first burst.
Yeah. That's not
over time, then eat it all up.
Not how anybody currently manages the timberland. That's how they used to manage it, and that's why we got it. That's how we inherited these. So anyway, I think it's a really good thing to have. The second half of this conversation is what do you do with those revenues? And every Hood River County, I visited Hood River, Coos County, and those are the counties with the major holdings. Douglas County has 7,000 acres in their holdings. Those are the major ones. And we are the number one. Used to be Hood River. They have 58,000. And that was in Chute County. Long story. Anyway, they all have trusts that they set up. And Coos County's trust is not by ordinance. So they are robbing and pillaging that trust. And they're taking out more than they're generating every year. And I don't think that's a good thing. Hood River doesn't do that. They're very strict about it. We generate... You know, X over 5-year review, and I don't know exactly how this looks. If we determine that 5-year average, because we don't have 5 years, we could say right now I think the number is probably close to $500,000 to $750,000 every year for the foreseeable future. If he generates next year, this year, $1.4 million in revenue, you still only get $750,000 out of the trust that year. So what I'm looking for, what I've always looked for, is stable funding, which we have really never had, that you can go to the bank on every year, you're going to get that. If he doesn't harvest the year after that at all.
If he gets $2.5 million in there, he's still only going to get $750,000. The other stays in there. In case he doesn't harvest for 2 or 3 years,
yep.
He has a little cushion.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's the goal. And I would like to build in like a 5-year review that you'd establish that due... New level, or
you see, you're not getting too much money in there, and it's not being
you don't want to
bump it up to $1 million, maybe.
Yeah,
something that's sort of
like. We just need to determine like a formula that says this is how it happens after 5 years, and because I think that Dave's efficiency and the strategy is going to pay off, and so it would be really conservative to say, in my opinion, 500, 750. 750 would be good. And in my opinion, where it should be dedicated is to something that is sometimes not the first priority, but I think what Commissioner Morgan was saying yesterday should be the first priority, is a long-term strategy. So you're pairing it up with taking care of our youth, going to pay dividends in 10, 20, 30 years.
That's a good investment.
It's a good investment.
Very good investment. So you're saying we have it, we don't right now, we don't have a foreign fund.
We do, it's just not directed, codified. I mean, we could take all of it tomorrow.
Okay, so the trust, you have a foreign trust, but you want to carry a step further and dedicate those revenues at a given rate to the juvenile detention shelter.
And it be codified by ordinance so that a board looking at hard times...
The board can't just come and rob that.
Doesn't just...
Okay,
because
it's an ordinance.
Because other people, they inherit this idea, but they often stray.
Oh, well, we don't need to do that anymore.
No.
Well, and I've been trying to think about, you know, initially it was like just a shelter. And I was like, okay, but that may not be exactly, I mean, depending on revenues and stuff like that, is there enough to sustain the juvenile staff that are more than just shelter staff that would be covering and that, you know, here we have this levy. The goal is to cover adult and juvenile jail. So that's the detention side. But at the same time, with this trust, are we, you know, is the public going to view that we're double covering, or is it just one or the other? The idea, though, is that we have the sustainable funding to support the juvenile system to cover it so that it's...
So it won't close entirely.
Well, and that, well, hopefully the levy will pass, and that will cover the detention. But there is still a need... that we have the supporting staff that, so not everybody goes into the shelter of detention. There are kids that are referred that just deal with a PO.
So maybe we dedicate it to the justice center. The
juvenile justice.
Juvenile justice.
Yeah, but not limited to specifically.
But we can say our priority, we want to make sure the shelter is open. Yeah. We want to make sure the supporting staff is there. Detention is covered by the levy. But
we don't have to sell this to the people per se. I mean, the levy is dedicated, focused, and guaranteed.
We can write
the detention
trust anyway.
This
want.
One can be a little different.
Right.
Yeah. Because and I think it would pay to be a little more
flexible. My intent was just that the youth have a steady stream that we don't. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have it subject to ever being cut.
Right. Okay.
So we're saying, are you for a priority?
Yeah, you don't have the GLCs going, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. No, you've got a pretty stable foundation that you can count on.
GLC is Group Life Coordinator.
What's that?
Group Life Coordinator.
I didn't know that.
GLC, yeah. It's also, I think, a vitamin. I'm not sure.
GNC.
Maybe that's what
But do we want to limit? Do we want to limit that? Is that what you're saying? That you don't want to limit that to one? You know what their requirements are going to be.
And at first, I was thinking, let's just limit this to shelter. And I realized I didn't feel that would necessarily be in the best interest.
No.
That the juvenile justice would potentially.
Yeah. Well, and I like the idea that if they find themselves with $1 million worth of revenue, you know, at one point, you know, 5 years or whatever, that the levy expires and was replaced with something else that just funds the jail because the trust is funding, you know, everything they
the
need.
The trust is their fallback. I used to.
How great is that?
I had a salesman and he said, gosh, I don't know, I can't count on my commission. But I gave him, I says, okay, bring me your household bill plus your house payment. I'm not going to pay your $3,000 a month house payment. Tell me what, you know, because you can always negotiate with your mortgage lender that I can't make that payment, right? I need that cut in half or whatever. That's your business. But give me something basic that keeps the lights on and a little bit of food on the table stuff, and I'll give you that every month.
Pace,
that's it. So it came out to like $950 a month. And then he got commission. But I'm going to adjust your commission. I can't pay you 7%. I'll pay you $950 guaranteed and 5.
Right.
And so I came out net. It was the same to me, but it gave him
some security.
A little bit of security that he could take home and say, you know what, I can do this, son, and we're going to make more money. And it turned out that he was just rolling in the money. He made way more than everybody goes, well, you can pay him way more than you get. And I said, nothing happens till something's sold.
Right.
Never forget that. If he doesn't sell, you don't come to work today.
Yeah.
So we're all in this together. But that's why I'm viewing this thing.
You raised a great point about nothing happens revenue-wise for a tree until it's sold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cut.
Nobody, right? There's no reason for anybody to go to work.
So the idea for me is to put, you know, when people, forest management has gone through the scrutiny over the years, and I think Dave's going to do a good job, all conforming with best practices, Oregon State Forest,
Well, he's also a good ambassador from the point when you sit there and ask him questions. He puts that in a word I understood. Time well served for me.
Good.
A lot of times people rattle on and I go, what the heck did I get out of that? Yeah. But he had a good deal of life.
About me? I was going to say the same thing. Not you, me.
Excuse me. Some people talk. No, you're okay. You're pretty easy to get along with, too. That was key to me, that if he's on board, he's a good ambassador.
Yeah, politically tying that to something that's like, you don't want us to cut trees anymore? Okay. We don't have to cut trees anymore. We're gonna let the kids out of the shelter.
Yeah.
You know? But not bad kids. Good kids in bad situations.
Yeah.
We don't have a place for them anymore.
Yeah.
It's not what we're doing. Instead of
showing them the good path, we don't have the opportunity to show them the good path, so we're putting back out the bad choices.
We have a private sector that has helped step up with Hearts with a Mission that is trying to provide. They have 18 beds for youth, but not everybody is able to go into that facility.
Right.
Yeah. And there is a partnership in the community called Safe Families, where we have families trying to partner with DHS and police departments and schools ahead of time to intervene in families that are potentially heading for foster care. So if they can intervene before they get into foster care with the whole family. And we've had a couple families start that already, but the referrals in Josephine County are way less than in Jackson County for whatever reason. It hasn't really taken off over here. Even such, there's still kids that need a safe place to go. And that is one of those things that our shelter is still needed. There is still a need for protecting kids in our community that are not being.
Or would the referrals be coming from patrol, possibly? Why ours is so down?
I've heard the holdup is DHS. So we have to get our new management and DHS on board. Jackson County is all on board, and they're doing it. They've trained several families in our community ready to go, but they're not getting referrals yet. So it is educating teachers, the police, and patrol of when they identify something, but it's also getting the blessing of the DHS office. The state has blessed it. It's kind of a pilot process. And Jackson County, again, matter of fact, the ones that have already happened in our county were referrals from Jackson County that have started. So it's just a matter of trying to get things going.
Well, I like the concept.
Yeah.
Dedicating revenues to juvenile detention, and that'll be
juvenile justice.
Juvenile
justice. I needed to change that to not say detention shelter, just juvenile justice, and that way it's covering the whole system.
That
of
opens
our kids.
That up to their discretion where they need funds, but it gives them a basis.
Ultimately, our discretion
with the board decision.
It's still, if there's a year there's no revenue. You know, we have to, like I said, you connect it to a trust so that you're not depleting it every year so you have stable funding.
Right.
It's not necessarily going to fill their system, but it is supplementing and helping, and hopefully will someday get to a point that it's sustaining.
It totally could. Wouldn't that be amazing?
And that's where we have to be
intentional. He's got 2,200 acres that he's put in the portfolio to get rid of that are not valuable. And we're going to come to a point where we're going to need to have a discussion about the Parks Reserve. If they get $1 million out of these property sales and stuff, that's good. We need to start moving more to the forestry department. He's going to be able to invest in buying properties, adding to our portfolio, consolidating. One of the conversations I had with Riley is taking those four properties just as a test to see about getting a legislative transfer. If that's the case, then we look at a lot of properties that we get rid of and absorb. You know, we start to consolidate our holdings. Coos County is in two large parcels, and they manage about 15,000 acres. It's like they wouldn't even know what it would be like to do that. Perpetua doesn't do that. We have 80 reciprocal rights of way agreements with the BLM that we've been working on for 2 years to try to get solid. It's a nightmare managing this portfolio. But it's also a positive, Dave would say, is that we are also one of the most fire-prone counties in the state. You lose a track here and there, you didn't lose your whole thing. If we're all in one spot up north in the Wolf Creek area where they grow trees pretty well, but they also burn fires pretty good, we could find ourselves out. So it's an interesting thing.
Two-edged sword.
Yep, two-edged sword for sure.
Okay.
We'll work on this. It's on the list. I just really appreciate that you guys are receptive to these ideas. You know, this is what I feel like I was hired to do, and for
4 years. These have not gone anywhere.
Well, you kept talking about a forest trust, and that's what got me to put it here. Like,
yeah.
Have we dedicated it? We keep talking about it. Let's not talk about it. Let's do it.
There's a draft.
By the whole board.
There's a draft developed a year ago.
Well, I also want to support our forestry department with the plan that they can do long-term planning with and support that process. So in order to have a trust that's sustainable funding, we have to have a plan that is defensible. And so I think it's twofold.
True.
But I don't want it to wait. I think it needs to be on our list of goals for this year as far as accomplishing getting done.
Well, I think the budget session, we set it up that way.
We did all
the budget. To make
we
that.
We kind of did, but we will.
Well, I mean, with the ordinance and the whole thing, we'll build it up and. I'm thinking we'll make it a separate.
Idea of a timeline, but okay.
Should be a separate tab, actually.
Separate tab.
You have to report on it annually. And
that's what I'm thinking.
What your inventory says.
So it's not part of the property reserve as a subsection of property reserve. It's
a forest
trust, I think so.
That'd be great.
That'd be a great presentation.
Right?
That would be.
Well,
the whole reason for all of this stuff, restarting up the Forest Advisory Committee, getting the inventory, hiring a manager, it just takes.
Like I said, we are at a time of getting things done. Incredible movement in this community.
Well, I think we're serving a need. We're serving a need. We recognize that juveniles got a real, and you know, they're just hammering away day in and out. Puts his coat on, his tie, and he comes work with a smile on his face. Got to answer the guy.
Yeah.
Well,
so, but they need help.
He was there when it was.
There's a need.
Modeled.
There's a need. How do we fill it? That's our job.
The other piece of this is that, oh, never mind. Yeah, you're right, as far as him coming to work. But we also, we keep saying that we care about certain things, and if we don't actually deal with our actions, then
we don't follow through.
We also listened. Oh, this is what it was that I lost my train of thought on. I'm sorry. We, in the last year, had heard from our electorate. They don't want to just be taxed to provide services. We're providing a non-tax way of producing revenue that is going to provide
essential services. That's an important point to make. It really is.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
And changing the IFF is another, just a small, you know, you're thinking outside the box.
People need to be heard. And we're trying to do that. We're not just saying that tax is the only option. We're looking for revenue sources that are taking the burden off of taxes.
Okay. Great. We will move that forward. The last thing I wanted to say is you've seen my list of things to do. And there's only a certain amount of them I need to do those things. So, you know, if we, the other balance of having all these things move forward, we're going to do stuff just to prioritize and see if that's going to happen or put a timeline on it. And I think Arthur and Wally, you know, endorsing the idea that we'll have that all codified and implemented like July 1. So it starts. If that's doable, I don't know if you're going to
have to. I think it is.
I'm going to shoot for it.
Is there a way that, and for me, somebody else asked that about the Forest Trust. And I said, I would imagine with the process of first hearing, second hearing, ordinance, 90-day wait, and the budget process, that new fiscal year is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, it's not a right now. But you have your list of project goals, things. Is there a way that can be emailed out?
Sure.
I have the physical copy you gave us. Is it a way that can just be emailed out as an FYI? More because I'm not a handwrite out my list. I'm going to type it. And if I can have that list there and type up, it's just how my brain works in the future.
Sure. It's really my list. It's a public document. And so I don't mind, but I'd like to see yours, but also you don't want to duplicate. I don't mind. But what I'm working on is eventually that mine is endorsed by this group and yours is endorsed by this group, or we have our separate ones. I've got stuff that isn't on there that I'm working on. We'll figure that out. Yeah.
But then there's, I think, just not to make too fine a point, but there's board-wide goals and objectives, and then there's individual liaison or committee goals and objectives. So.
Well, and I that brings me up as one of the other things I'll have to bring up as far as committee, but it is part of it is not wanting to duplicate, wanting to because it doesn't make any sense unless. we can all put it on all three of our lists if it's something I want to do,
sure.
and then we're like, okay, we know it's important to all of us. Or we can say, okay, this is already on a list of to-doing. I don't have to. What else do I see that's missing?
That's what I would do. You'd have your own.
Yeah.
And that would be mine. And then the ones where it's all on all three of us, that's right over here. We've got that delineated that we're working on. And that, or that's that program schools. So we'll get that done. Anything else? I was just emailed about a hearing, Representative Wilson's proposal on changing the distribution formula for House Bill 2203. There's a hearing, a committee hearing next Tuesday, the 14th.
It's at 1 o'clock.
Is that changing the distribution on marijuana tax?
Marijuana revenues, yeah.
What is it?
HB 2203.
And then 2204 as well, which is increasing the amount cities and counties can tax retail. Those are both going to be in the House Revenue Committee 1 o'clock on the 14th. That was what was on my list to bring up at the end.
Oh, good.
Because the other issue is you're in Salem on Monday. I'm supposed to be, unless you... What I was going to do is spend the night at my sister's house, 45 minutes away, so that I can just save money for the county and get to the meetings in the morning and then drive back after. The question now comes up, though. One of the things Representative Wilson has asked of us is that these things that they're putting forward is that we follow up with supporting them by testifying.
Yeah.
And so it would be curious if one of us could testify about the impact.
Are you trying to get out of the summit? Because if you get out of the summit, we'll be both here on Tuesday, correct?
I will be here.
For the 14th.
That's a priority.
Well, I'm not saying I'm going to stay for the 14th. I'm just saying Representative Wilson asked us if they put this forward to support them in it by showing up.
Well,
so the question comes to the board, is that a priority to us?
Is there more value in her staying with Wilson?
What I saw was that he would provide written or in-person testimony. I would suggest that we probably ought to do both. Now, there are, what he says in his email from Michelle, is there are people from Lipstick there, but there's few people that I would delegate to doing that, providing that testimony. So, have you testified at a committee before?
I have not. I know that there's a proper heading that I was going to, if I need to, I need to figure out what's the appropriate addressing to get that done. But I'm willing to.
Okay.
The purpose of the summit is just basically so that the panel can ask of staff, we're just here, okay, if they have any questions of the board. But I see value in her testifying.
I do.
Especially when Representative Wilson and Senator Bancroft said, you know, we need as much hometown representation as we can.
If we had three issues, you know, it's the transfer of those state lands, it's the redistribution formula.
Yeah.
I don't know what the third one is, but there's definitely a third one. You know what I mean? That's the top five issues.
So I would definitely. You want to do that? I'm in favor of you staying north.
Can you prep me?
Yeah, I can prep you.
As far as appropriate testifying?
Yeah.
I think you have experience in that.
I've done it before.
We'll give you a Curry County sweatshirt to wear.
I can't. I mean, but remember, the 14th is when he's going to have his meeting with the.
No, it's not just his. It's ours.
The board's going to have the meeting.
Right. But again, while we were sitting here, we got an email.
Yeah.
So I sent an email to Melissa Lipstick. And she asked me two questions: the current distribution, which is per capita, and the distribution formula by licensee. You know, what are we looking at?
We assume the distribution will be by cap per capita because that's the way they do alcohol. I don't know if they've ever declared
changed July 1, 2017. It's per capita now for the first 18 months. So January 1, 2016 through July 1, 2017 in the biennium. The July 1, 2017 onward, it's on licensee. So our per capita is about 2%, gives us about $150,000 of what the League of Oregon Cities estimated is going to be the collections, gives us $150,000. By licensee, we're 8% currently, as of January. That gives us about $540,000.
What I would suggest is that we provide both. I would like to see what it is that you two can come up as far as the numbers.
And I sent that to Melissa. That's why I'm saying.
But Melissa is not going to be there to testify on Tuesday.
No, so, I mean,
but she's giving it to Lipstick.
Correct.
And if Lipstick is there.
I'd like to have a letter from the board that you two develop, and we can sign before you leave, and then you provide your testimony. You won't be here on Tuesday, which I think is totally fine. But it does mean something to have something in the record for one pager. Not longer than one page, because they won't read it anyway.
Correct.
Especially if and it has bullet points, specific stuff that they can reference during the hearing, that you can reference during the hearing. You were all provided this testimony in writing.
We're third highest in the state for registered grows, Jack and Joseph.
All that stuff. That you guys have worked out.
Those are the things we're going to. There is a Lipstick meeting this Thursday at 2 o'clock that I will be at, so we will have a chance to tell them
that's
as well.
Where Melissa is heading for this.
To be able to see who else is going to show up. But that way, we can get on the calendar this week to see what we prepared for. And I will...
let's have that ready by Thursday evening to sign.
And you're gone already, but so yeah, we can...
You're gone already. You're gone tomorrow.
I'm gone Thursday. But if you have that, I don't go out.
Can you... Do you have one of these? Is it possible for you to read something?
I have one of those, yeah.
Some people don't have one of those. These gentlemen don't have one of those.
Lucky you.
I would like to see that you could sign it electronically. So we'll scan your signature. If you read this and endorse it, you can tell the ladies it's good to go. I've done that before. And that way we all have our signature on it before it goes. Make a copy.
Give the department also give you a signature.
I've seen that look before.
She's got mine. We can do it.
Okay.
We'll get it done.
With proper documentation, send me an email.
That's all it is.
Attach the email to it in the record.
Now, is there any way I can put my signature on file electronically here, and I just
That's what we're
going to call you? So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what we
that's
do is have
to
sign a piece of paper and we scan it electronically.
No.
It's not going to come out anything like that. I've tried this. Trying to do that.
No,
and we have you sign a piece of paper, you scan it, it saves it as a picture.
Okay,
that you
yeah, I'm going with that.
We do that.
I have my warrants that way. I still have my signature on the warrants.
All right, to keep on schedule, is there anything else? I would like to go to Pauline Padilla.
I'm available all afternoon until 3 if we need to.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, do you want us, Wally, do you want us to read this for this afternoon?
Yes, all three of them should be in your possession at this point, but I think if they're not, I'll make sure they are.
We got a copy of it this morning.
Okay,
so it's also in your folder.
Great.
Dr. Levi's one, but the other documents in your folder.
Okay.
Morning.
You probably all know Colleen Putty from Soren. She's the executive director.
Good morning.
How is everyone that day?
Very well. How are you?
Good to see you. Well, I brought some materials to share with you, and I think today my purpose really was just to provide some input on what's going on with SoReady and activities, answering questions you have, because I know both of you are relatively new as commissioners, of course. You have background knowing about SoReady, but just kind of bringing you kind of a yearly overview.
Okay.
And the yearly overview I provide is really specific to the whole region.
Right.
But if you ever want some data pulled out that's specific to Josephine County, I'm happy to try to get that. We're trying to avoid specialized reports for all the different jurisdictions that we provide a report to just for our time. So I have some materials for you. First of all, this is a packet of all the Southern Oregon Edge profiles we have done in Josephine County. There's 10 or 11 in there. So I want you to be familiar with those if you want to know one to take a peek at. Because these are companies that are in your backyard,
right.
And I know when we've done these types of reports for other jurisdictions and I've shown up with a business, they've always said, we'd really like for a commissioner or a counselor to come visit us sometime. So I thought if you knew who they were, their contact information on there, and you have a chance to say hello, I would encourage you to do so.
Yeah, I think if you're ever out in the field and you hear that, I respond to an invitation.
Absolutely.
I've never turned one down, but for me to just show up, I'm here from the government, I'm here to help.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it doesn't always go a cold call or whatever.
I understand. I want to grab one. I think I forgot to bring these here for you. These are our latest profiles. Of course, that's Row, you're familiar with. You may already have this poster. I'll have to double check. I don't think you do. So that's one of the most recent ones that came out. And then this is the one that just published this week.
Great.
With Taylor Sausage in Cave Junction, of course.
Could we have these on display somewhere?
Yes.
We should.
These are for you.
I think we have
in the past had them out in the hallway. So those are yours to keep.
Great.
And so we can talk more about that later, but this is who we have published today in Josephine County. And with specific to Taylor Sausage, I would say, too, that, you know, we had heard about their concerns about public safety and this sort of thing, and there was always that, so it's kind of this threat out there, I think we're going to have to move, right? They have said that. So, Aaron Arslan, our board president, and I both went out to visit them, and they seemed like they were still content being there, so I think sometimes it's just listening to what they have to say. So we did respond to that.
It'd be hard for them to
Yeah, I invite you to read the whole story so that you can know a little bit about what's going on.
Scott isn't in that picture, but that's who's really
Yeah. So this is a packet of information I'm just going to go over with you today.
My second grade teacher.
I do not have an extra packet for you, but one. Okay. I think I thought I missed one piece. Do you have that enterprise on?
Way back with the
papers. Yes, there we go. But it does, one thing to say, yes, it would be hard for them to uplift themselves, but that tells you how tired they are of the beatdown they've received over the public safety issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And for them to even consider it means that they are...
Even with Rough and Ready reopened, they were still the largest employer out there. They have
140
right now.
Mm-hmm. And they had expressed concerns about workforce, of course, in part related to the emerging cannabis industry, only that workers are choosing to be pickers and have a higher immediate gratification of a wage than to have something more long-term. But they seem to be working around
it.
But I just want to let you know that when we receive a comment like that or something's going on, we're pretty quick to get out there and visit with them. We don't want to lose our existing customers,
right?
The bread and butter.
One of the results that they have been looking at, so let's just use this specifically. This is what I see Sorey being poised and should be pursuing, is that they don't have to do everything they're doing out there. They can move to another place in Josephine County. They were looking at the bowling alley up there before the church bought it. Chuck was definitely interested in pursuing that. What a great place to have people come right off the freeway and get an opportunity to look over that whole operation from an upper deck, kind of a view.
Right.
We talked about that a year ago. It doesn't have to be there. I mean, I think, and that just provides, you know, greater opportunities for workforce development and grants and passwords. Cape Junction, Illinois Valley has a certain pool, but it's
kind of the next step. It doesn't have to be here. It could be, I'm going to move to Bend because Bend is...
They already tried that.
I don't know Utah on their radar, but...
They had a retail store in Bend.
So, just to share in general how we approach something like this, when we go out and visit a company, we are working to help them stay right where they are in that community. And if they're just out of space, then and they say to us, we really need to find some other suitable properties, then we go to work, and what they say, we want to look at other properties in Josephine County, or let's look at Jackson County, too. Then we look for where the properties might fit.
Yeah.
This, a case in point is Plexus Healthcare just moved from Ashland to Medford because they could not find a large enough space for all of their campuses. But we try very hard to keep them where they are, and if not there, within the region.
Mm-hmm.
And if not there, within the state, right?
Yeah.
So we're not about helping them relocate anywhere else unless they said, what do you know about property in White City, okay, or something like that. So, but...
And like Costco moving to Central Point.
Yeah, it happens over the years. So let me just go through this. I don't know how much time you had set aside for me, but I'll try to be brief. Okay, that's perfect. So, again, this is just a general overview of 2016, and two things I want to point out to you. So, you know, you do have, we do have a new chair who's on our business recruitment and retention committee. That's Kathy Peckham. She's a member of your community, very active and engaged. She's also on our board of directors.
She married to Jerry Peckham. Did she work in a bank?
She does work for a bank, yes.
Okay.
So she's very actively involved.
Yeah.
Some other things I wanted to share, where I even bolded it. We operate a revolving loan program, which we've had since 1994. We have lent out over $18 million to date. Most of those loans per capita are in Josephine County, most of them per capita. What occurred, though, is when Grants Pass became a metropolitan statistical area, it meant that certain funds that we have could no longer be used in what's considered a metro area. So we were limited on funds that we could loan into Grants Pass specifically. Same thing with Medford. So we actually have the ability.
Medford's been an NPO for a while.
Oh, yes, yes. So, but we used down all the funds that we had available to lend there. Most of the funds that we have are from the USDA, so it's focused on rural areas.
Mm-hmm. Which Cape Junction is in Cape most Junction. Of our county, but not Grants Pass itself.
Right.
But Cape Junction, is it in the NPO? It's not in the middle of the NPO.
The northern area is Gold Hill.
Gold Hill, Rogue River, just by 5 quarters.
So really, it's really talking about metropolitan statistical areas. That was our problem, right?
That's what guides the development of the NPO.
Right.
The federal designation.
Right. So what we were able to do, we are in a very good position at SoReady that if we ever were called on all of our loans to the federal government, we could pay them all off. We have the funds to do it. And so what we did is we identified a particular loan and we paid it off so that we then essentially defederalized those dollars and we can now use those as we wish. And we and our little loan committee as who, that has established, nope, we're just going to keep loaning those out, but now we have about $600,000 in a one particular fund that we can now lend back in the grant.
You just freed that money up.
And we freed it up.
Yeah.
So it was a big, and you know, it reduced our debt service on that particular loan fund also. So that was a big deal. We've never done that before, defederalize something. So that gave us a little bit more flexibility. I wanted to share that with you.
Real quick before you go on.
Please.
Are you coordinating with our local community development director? I'm just concerned or I wonder why she's not here.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think she should have been here. I should have looked.
I was thinking she might. Is she on vacation?
No, she was on vacation last week. I think Gracie, maybe she is.
I don't know.
Okay. So I had reached out to her also just to check on with her to have lunch today.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear back from her until.
She's been a little busy. We did some hearings on marijuana.
Yeah.
But
to your question, we coordinate with her. She participates on many of our committees, our business retention
yeah,
and
recruitment. She's our delegate right now to the SoReady board, right?
Yeah, well, she and Dan. So she's a backup. And then she also participates in some of what we call our quarterly planner meetings where we have planners from all the different regions come together.
Great.
And just talk about best practices, what can we work on together, where can we leverage resources. So she's been very actively involved.
Good.
So I wanted to point also out, Launch Ashland Pub Talks. Now, it says Launch Ashland, but the intent is for that to be Launch Southern Oregon. We started with a model in Ashland. Really what it is, it's our outreach to entrepreneurs. Okay, so last night we actually had a pub talk. We had 80 people show up. We thought we'd have 40. And Frederick Schilling, who's the founder of Big Oba Chocolate, I don't know if you're familiar. He was the founder of that and then sold it a few years ago to Hershey for $17 million. So it was a really nice story for entrepreneurs here from founding to sales. And now what is he doing? He started another company. There's another company. So we have 80 people there. So the idea is to really establish a really good model of outreach to entrepreneurs and then replicate it in Grants Pass. So we have a Launch Grants Pass and a Launch Medford.
Now, can you have the same speaker? Because it sounded to me like he was probably a good motivational speaker. Can they bring somebody from Ashland over here?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we've been after...
I mean, you're not limited. You're not
we've
limited.
Been after Travis Borsma to speak. So we're looking for the entrepreneurs from our region that just have a great story that will inspire the other entrepreneurs to proceed with that idea. And then we match them up with services.
Another one we talked about, I think, the other night, Dave Thomason would be a fantastic one.
Yes, I agree.
He's taken Human Bean from being a couple of coffee stores to he's growing.
I was thinking about reaching out to him today before I head back, if he's available.
His office, you know, is right there.
I thought it was right around the corner.
His other office is Tap Rock.
I'll track him down. But yes, yeah, so the idea, and we have angels, we facilitate the Southern Oregon Angel Investment Network, so we file the LLCs and all the associated paperwork. Our venture catalyst is the one that works with those angels to say, here's a great company, it's ready to move forward. This is all part of that launch activities. One of our core functions is to help companies launch. So we're trying to really get the model working and robust, and then we're going to replicate it. That's the intent.
Okay.
But just because it says launch Ashland doesn't mean it's only limited to Ashland companies. It's just that's where the events are right now.
Okay.
And then I just want to say we are continuing to raise new membership revenues. Also, that's in that last bullet under agency updates. So as I was saying, we actually have three primary functions, which is the launch, relocate, and prosper. And I think that I gave some of you, or all of you, these materials before, but I brought another set. And so in our launch category, we had 47 sounding board sessions in the last year. And a sounding board session is when an entrepreneur can come on Wednesdays, they're held on Wednesdays, to our offices and get a one-hour pro bono session with our venture catalyst and our loan manager. And if we know that they have a specific need, not yet. We're trying to identify the entrepreneurs that need to proceed on to investment of some sort. Or it may be that they need to go work on a business plan, so we send them to the appropriate small business development center. It's really for them to say, here's my idea, and then we tell them, great idea, or not such a great idea, or here's some steps you need to take. So it's to move them to that next step. So there's a one-hour pro bono session, so we had 47 of those this year in our offices. Four company pitches to the angels, the company in Ashland, which was actually one of our speakers at the Southern Oregon Business Conference, received $455,000 in angel investment. Pretty good, huh? Ashton Company. It's an organic product that's a feminine hygiene product, but really answers a need. We have two pending loans also to leverage angel commitment through our loan fund. They're pending, waiting on some benchmark or something that they have to reach in sales or something before the loan comes into play. And I mentioned the pub talks. We've averaged 40 in attendance, but we didn't count last night because that was in a different year. So on the relocate side, now oftentimes we get a lot of press around if somebody relocates to the area and we help them, but that's not part of what we do. But it is something, we're the only agency in the region established to do that, to help them. So we responded to 23 new relocation leads this last year that come from various sources. We attended 5 trade shows all over the country. I personally made 10 outreach visits to prospective clients. So we have a lead generation firm that creates leads for us. And then if I'm already traveling in and about, I will go visit them. So I was all over the country last year, Michigan, Ohio, Iowa, California, Washington State, Phoenix, visiting those companies. So once they've expressed an interest in our region, we make every effort we can within our budget and time to go see them and then have them come visit us, because we believe once they're here, they're more likely to consider this as a really good place to be if we can answer all the other constraints we might have.
Question along those lines?
Please.
So we had had a proposal about a year ago from a gentleman, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I think he was a former board member of SoReady. It seemed to fill a niche. Yeah, it's not exactly in your core. I think the board was receptive at first, but it just seemed to not come to fruition because, you know, you got to have them, Jackson County, mm-hmm. to make it go, mm-hmm. and then we weren't there, and then we were there, and then they weren't there, so it just never came
right.
together. It didn't have to be. The concept is still good, and I think it needs to
mm-hmm.
to be something that we do, mm-hmm. marketing our area to the Bay Area specifically, not a shotgun approach, a very specific.
Yeah, we do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that he was proposing anything new. We already do that.
Okay.
And
but we're not funding that specifically.
You are funding our organization to help us. So you're providing the base for us to provide those types
yeah.
of services.
He was asking for real money to go do
yes,
that.
Yes, I know he was.
And the board wasn't, we weren't saying no. to the concept. I think ultimately we said no to his proposal. And that seems to me like I haven't changed my position on that.
Okay.
If somebody comes forth and says, hey, we want to hire somebody specifically to go down and market Josephine County, Jackson County, to the Bay Area, I'd lean into that pretty hard, I think, with allocating some economic development. I would, personally.
I am in agreement with that. And I also think the other piece of it is, if there is a piece of property that would have worked but for something, what do we need to do? For instance, we're looking at how do we get our water stores taken care of in the industrial park in Illinois Valley. Is that something that would still qualify? I know USDA built it initially. It may or may not be qualified still. But that we get that shovel ready to the point that now we can actually bring some businesses in and see the growth happen.
Right.
How do we see those things through that we
most of
make
that.
A commitment? I mean, have you, did, I think you, I talked about it with you when we met a couple months ago about the Golden Triangle down in Alabama, that article that was on 60 Minutes.
Yes.
You know, it was them taking the three poorest counties and saying, let's work together, and what do we got to do? And they actually invested in some infrastructure, which was scary to take that money and put that risk in that infrastructure. But the return on investment has brought jobs en masse to their area, and they are the place to go now.
And another key partner in that was they had a research university.
That's true.
You know, so they have some other assets or amenities.
But I think
RCC that help drive that.
And Oregon State University Extension Service could potentially step up to provide some of those things.
Quite possibly. And there are a lot of grant opportunities out there through the EDA. And so already is the designated economic development district in our region. So we can be a starting point for some of those opportunities. And I'll tell you about one, which is to create a university center, which would be a collaboration between the university and RCC to actually set up some programming around all those launch entrepreneurial activities, because we want to go after what's upstream, innovation, and so we need to get around a program and focus on that.
Or
so there's an opportunity
extension
right
is doing
now.
A lot of that. They're not doing anything in Southern Oregon.
Nope.
When we look at our region, they're only focusing on Lane County, and they have not come south of there for the things they're doing. But they have a great coastal program going. They have some stuff going in Eastern Oregon, and there is an opportunity for them to bring something dynamic to Josephine County, Southern Oregon as a whole. Mm-hmm. But we haven't asked, and they haven't offered. And so the opportunity to partner is there. And they said, well, they even are like, okay, this community is wanting engineering brought in so they can bring in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing professors to provide engineering in this location. We're providing.
So let me look into it and find out what the appetite is for something in Southern Oregon. Maybe they just need to be asked and someone needs to come along and kind of.
Well, and I think it's a matter of us collaborating and saying, what do we want to be here? What do we prepare for and invite in?
Well, that's part of the thing, too, is, you know, we are, Soretti's a regional organization, and we know that we have more strength when we act as a whole region, because that's what gets the attention of outside companies or site selectors, et cetera. And so I think we really need to focus on what's our regional vision, and that's a piece of it.
Is it the OrHemco? Are you involved with that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I apologize. I'm not trying to bring you in. But in talking with one of the business people out in Murphy, the potential of what could possibly happen with hemp.
Right.
Not cannabis, hemp. I know there's...
If we can
somehow
make sure that it's separated out, then we could probably...
But that's what they're
that.
Working on.
Mm-hmm.
And what manufacturing can come out of that. What other things. What potential jobs could be created in a bigger scale than what even they're looking at right now, if we brought in the university to provide the training for the smart manufacturing or the engineering or the, you know, whatever.
When we go to the university and we go to OSU, we're going to probably need to identify where we want to go.
Yeah.
If they just say, hey, we need your help.
Exactly, and that's why it's a regional...
step in the process would be to identify where we're at, that a good example would be the updated.
Yeah.
So outlining our strengths, you know, we grow pretty good.
Yeah,
down here.
But back to your point with Mark Von Holly, at the same time that he did that, we had a proposal to Jackson County,
mm-hmm.
who for the last 3 years has funded us additional dollars so that I can travel to go visit those companies so that we can have the lead generation
okay.
firm. So they funded a separate proposal for SurveyReady
yeah.
to do that work. Because we're really already strategically set up to do that kind of work.
Well, when we were up county, we were county college, one of the things that they put the chart up there and the provost from OSU, he's talking about extension. And he did. As Commissioner Morgan said, he had his, oh, this is how much money I gave to the Coastal Caucus, and Willamette Valley got this much, and Eastern Oregon got this. Southern Oregon, that block right down here, Douglas, Jackson, Curry, and Josephine, Klamath, I think, was even, and we're not even on their radar.
No.
We said, hey, what about us?
Let me look into it and see if there's something
yeah.
that we can.
We kind of called their bluff on it because I think they just wanted us to go back. We made them go back a couple slides. And you got to go back to that $14 million slide that you've got to spend. We're not even on your radar to spend any of it in Southern Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of called him on that. No, yeah, I'm going to work on that. He was nervous.
Well, and our regional representative was in Eugene. What good
yeah.
does that do us? Kind of thing. But we haven't asked them to step up and do more.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't, you know, to me, as we're developing this economic development collaborative committee,
right?
I think you guys are at the table on that one.
We're an advisor to it. We're not on the committee.
Board. Okay.
And we are in one of the primary goals of that committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
strategy.
That committee may be the collaborative start where we
exactly.
start saying, what do we regionally want to bring into our area?
Identify it.
Jackson County is bringing in business left and right. How do we come to the table that we have a potential for a workforce? And then once we have that potential, are we getting the schools on board to provide the workforce? And are we engaging our kids early enough that we don't lose them to drop out or we don't lose
but
them
to drop out? But there's a lot of things packed into that, and I want to encourage you again to think regionally that it sounds like there's a lot more business coming to Jackson County. But the workforce is going both ways.
Everybody says, well, how much business can we, how many big industries can we bring to Grants Pass? I want to be their veteran community because you know what? Where they put their kids in school, that's where they spend their money.
That's right.
I want us to be, that is a business, is being a veteran community and being a quality of life area. That's why you have gated communities down in Southern
right.
California because, you know, you provide for, kids live in Laguna Niguel. Well, that's fine, but their gated community has its own government, actually, and they take care of everything.
So everything we work on is regional,
yeah.
whether it's
okay.
workforce or outreach calls or the recruitment. When we follow up with proposals to those relocation leads, unless they said to us, we're interested in Medford or we're interested in a specific community, they get information about the whole region.
Yeah.
Do you have a livability aspect on your criteria when people call in and say, yeah, where's the most livable place? You say, who has
They don't
time?
Ask that.
They don't ask
No, they're first of all trying to find out what does your workforce look like?
Okay.
This is what I need. Will I be able to find engineers? Will I be able to find, technical workers for this? That's the number one thing, workforce.
Okay.
Then it is an existing facility that's going to fit my needs.
A list of priorities that have...
I mean, livability is one thing. That's certainly true, but it falls way down on the list after you've already, narrowed down which communities you're considering. Because ideally, a recruitment project's going to hire people that already live here. They already get it. They live here already.
Right.
But, you know, some of those people want to know about amenities, the management team that may come in to get it started. But it falls down a little ways. It's not the first thing they talk about.
I think they pick the region because of the livability element. So it may not be on the list of what she's asking. They're picking Southern Oregon because...
Maybe they've already made that decision before they got
it. Anywhere in here.
Well, I would just have to say that many of them, a lot of these companies, are looking for a West Coast location. It's not about our region necessarily and livability. It's about where are we on the West Coast, centrally located, but not in California. It really, unless it's a closely held family company,
mm-hmm.
the corporations are looking at the bottom line. Where's the best place for us to be for transportation, taxes, workforce, that sort of thing. The smaller companies, you're right, they want a lifestyle change.
And I think that goes to Commissioner DeYoung's point is, I'm never going to try to court a larger company. That's not an interest of mine to put in Josephine County. Mine is that smaller family, a Dutch Bros that's going to be here, even if it doesn't make sense that their distribution headquarters is located right out of Southern Florida for their Northwest Territory.
Absolutely.
They're going to be here because of other reasons. It's not just the bottom line. So
but how many do they employ?
Dutch Brothers?
Yeah.
About 160 in their corporate headquarters, not counting all their baristas.
Yeah. So they're still a significant employer. You're not having a 15,000.
There's no but with that. It's just, that's what I think needs to be.
I agree.
And that fits who you are.
Fits us.
Right.
Yeah. I think you will find we're both in agreement with that.
Yeah. If somebody who is making the decision on the bottom line to move here, and it's not a criticism, if they want to, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But my priority isn't to court those. And it's the Tesla group that my brother-in-law was managing for the drive-it-yourself element of the Tesla. He had 28 people working under him on that program management. He didn't have to do it in the Bay Area. They could have done it up here. You're right. The second question they ask is, do you have a facility for us to move into? Because if I have to wait for it to build it, you know, I can put all the infrastructure, the IT stuff in, but I can't wait to have a building.
Yeah, things have just changed that they need something more immediate.
Yeah.
So, and we've been working on what we call virtual building.
So you design them, everything's ready to go, they can just...
Somewhat, so it's like, you know, it's like looking at, if you were building a house and you just, you know, a piece of property, it's an illustration of a house that fits that lot, and then the information on it will tell you, you know, it will tell you what amenities are there, where's the infrastructure, what would the cost be for that house or that square footage.
Yeah.
It's trying to eliminate some information.
Totally, the gap.
At the beginning.
We started a little bit of stuff over there in the city when we lost Radio Design Group was a prime example of an industry that we would love to have here. They were already here.
Right.
He wanted to build a new building out there. And
very familiar with it.
Yep, and then he wanted 5 upscale homes on the property behind for his management team. And the city of Grants Pass absolutely shot that in the head.
Yep. And already worked with them from the very get-go to find other properties.
Yeah, we worked, you know, when Rick Riker and I, Councilor Riker and I went out and talked to the owner, it was amazing his story. We could not get it out of staff because it was such an embarrassment. Oh, that's a long story. You know, we have time to tell you.
Yeah,
we
had a lot of
constraints. And that was an absolute embarrassment.
They're still in the region, though, so that's good.
Yeah, they're
and about half of their workforce live over here. So
Mayor
your Bennett, bedroom community.
Mayor, you know, Mayor Bennett, now, but gosh, probably, yeah, they welcome those open arms.
Yeah.
Management team lives there and everything.
So let me continue on to make sure if you have any other questions before I run out allotted time. So we do continue to do recruitment, we respond, but the heart of what we do is prosper, which is that next category starting at the very bottom of the page. Kathy Troutman, who's our business development manager, she alone, just her, made 99 outreach calls in 2016. To companies like Dutch Bro and to Mid-Rogue Independent Physicians, to Master Brands, to Rogue Valley Door. We make those consistently because they're our current customers. They're the ones that are going to create most of the new jobs.
Is Mid-Rogue primary health or all care?
All care. Okay.
I get lost in the name changes.
Yeah, all care. So on the back then, in that same category of just helping our existing companies prosper, so Reddy is the enterprise zone manager.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked a little bit about that last week at the RBCOG meeting.
Yeah.
And in your packet, I gave you just a summary of the enterprise zone and how it works for your reference. Because I think it was you, Commissioner DeYoung, that said this is also available to existing businesses.
Right. And
most of them are existing businesses that take advantage of.
It only applies to the growth. It doesn't
to the new capital investment.
Right. Okay.
So in 2016, we processed 11 enterprise zone applications in the region. Two of those are here in Josephine County, and one of them is Osland Group. They're building a new corporate headquarters right out off of their location towards Merlin. Can't think of the name of that road right now. Yes, thank you, Highland. And the other is the new hotel development that's coming in.
Oh, Hampton Inn.
In and out. Yeah. So because you, as a zone sponsor, said we will allow hotel and motel development, Otherwise, the eligible companies are mostly traded sector manufacturers, or Allcare is a regional headquarters. It took advantage of the enterprise zone the previous year. Okay.
Well, they're expanding this year with a second building, but I don't know that
it was
necessarily
probably in the whole package when they did that.
Did the credit union, what is it?
Road credit union
out on the one on Harbeck. They did that remodel a couple of years ago, like $6.5 million, mm-hmm. and I'm going to.
But that would not be. They're not traded sector. Okay. Most of their business is done locally, and it's not a corporate headquarters because their headquarters is in Medford.
They were moving it there and they increased jobs by 20, or was it just their tech center, their IT center?
Why did they just their IT? But they were moving 28 high-paying jobs to this location from somewhere else.
That may be, but the rules are specific to a corporate headquarters.
They didn't meet the criteria, so they're not an enterprise.
That's right.
So my answer is no.
So on the back page, those 11 enterprise zone applications supported 47 new jobs, 237 existing jobs, and that was $9.3 million in investment. That's just for your community.
Okay.
$32 million in investment on all of those enterprise zones. We have something called the next bullet item, quarterly prosper talks. We did one on workforce, air transportation, and measure 97.
Okay.
Those quarterly prosper talks are usually 90 minutes to 2 hours, and they're designed specifically to answer what's on the mind right now of the businesses that we're talking to. Workforce is always number one. Or why can't we get more flights to the Bay Area? So we would go talk. We would bring in Alaska Air and Burn Case, the airport director, and we would try to provide good information as to what our constraints are. Now, we know that there's another flight coming to the Bay Area. I know that. And it will be announced in the near future. I just don't know which airport it's going into yet.
Allegiant also went to Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. They just added Tuesday. So.
Allegiant, though, is more of the tourist, go have fun crowd.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, where we have American Airlines coming in, also will add a direct flight to Phoenix again. So we're aware of those constraints in air transportation also. So the prosper talks are designed to bring expertise and dialogue around a constraint that business. So we
and I love that passengers are going from Medford, but I would love to see our two airports be a commercial focus with our potentially getting a second runway. Or if that industrial park in Illinois Valley runway that already can handle the jets.
Parallel taxi.
Yeah.
All that fun stuff.
So that's one of the points in the strategy of the collaborative economic development strategy. Also, that was like number 8 or 9 down on the list. So it's in there, and that's the perfect venue or the group to start talking about how we work on that together.
When are we going to see some results from that? Because the joint effort, I think, was new. In the time I've been here, we've dumped a ton of money into economic development. I haven't seen a lot of real.
Well, I was at the
a lot of city. Ideas, but I've never seen any of them.
I think the committee was just formed, was it not?
Last week,
the city approved it. I was there. And I think now it's in your court to approve it and then start moving forward talking about what is it we can do.
This board has never even had a conversation about the committee makeup.
No.
No, I was
we
told
never,
it was made up before we even came in.
And so I don't know on that.
That's politics.
Commissioner Walker was working on it, a proposal, and it was supposed to come back to the board in the city, follow a parallel track of approval. But I haven't seen
it. We need to bring that up at our next joint meeting.
So,
it's coming up soon.
The last item on that is 4 quarterly industry tours. We do an industry tour every quarter. One of the ones we did last year were to those companies, Dutch Bro, Master Brand, First Call, and you have a little something in your packet with the colored one. That's the flyer that went through all the guests on that industry tour, and it talks about the 4 stops we made, what are their needs. The difference in our industry tours over the last year is that it's now focused on having educators on the bus. So Blue Cross Blue Shield and U.S. Bank sponsor those seats. 10 seats out of 30 seats available on the bus are provided to educators. All of your high school superintendents have been very actively engaged, regardless of where we go, because what they want to do is see firsthand how our math skills being used in a master brand. And they become very familiar with the companies that we do have so that they can direct their students who may not be four-year college bound to, you know, you have an aptitude for mechanics, maybe you got to become a mechanic and do this. So it's really, they are really liking it, and it's helping them understand what we have in our region. We have another one coming up March 16th, I think, is our next one. Will be in White City. We kind of rotate them around.
Yeah.
So I just wanted you to share that that's one of the things that we do.
I would have enjoyed that. Sorry, I missed it.
You know, the other important thing, oftentimes, I'm not sure that it's the case in Josephine County, but in Jackson County, when we use Rogue Valley Transportation District, we have to pay for the bus unless there's an elected official on the bus. Then we don't have to pay for it. And so we're always trying to have an elected official on the bus. I don't think that's the case here.
They have a special transportation district, and Mr. DeYoung is the liaison. The board can say that's what you're going to approve.
But if you're receiving our newsletter, then you'll get information about that. Any SoReady member can participate on the tour besides the educators. And then out of that has come another group or committee that we've formed between the businesses and the education to come together and figure out, okay, what did we just learn on that tour and where were some gaps and what should we be working on? So already it's actually co-located with the Rogue Workforce Partnership, so we talk about these things frequently, trying to answer the skills gap and the lack of work ethic and things like that. There's a lot of workforce concerns. That's the bad news. The good news is that it's not just us. It's everyone in the country has some of these same problems. So it's a national concern. The last thing on this report, and then I would just entertain any other questions you have. I mentioned our lending program. I lent nearly $800,000 last year. That supported 71
level of, you don't really lend money on less than 20 grand, or what's your...
We can go down to about 10,000, but usually if it's getting low, we might refer to the micro lending program with the IBCDO, or you know, something else.
Okay.
Because it still takes, we're not a commercial bank, but we still follow some of the same guidelines. So we can lend up to $250,000. Everything's collateralized. We've done about 230 loans over time now, and the average loan size is about $75,000.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, and so we actually have a pending loan right now for Cave Junction for $250,000 for business. And it's pending right now, waiting for the seller and the buyer to work out some details. That's part of that
great
package.
I have reservations about the micro loan program. For me, the previous board allocated $50,000 to Rogue Roasters to help in their relocation. They were going to relocate. That had already been approved, done. And what I don't want to have as a focus is providing a lot of economic development initiative from the county's perspective on the lower half of the median gap, because that just brings down your average. I would like to put people emphasis on everything above the median income level. Creating those kinds of jobs here is my 100% focus. Mm-hmm. Because if you focus on that, the other stuff will come, because people will be
These people will create the jobs.
But if you're constantly adding to the bottom, all you're doing is bringing down the median, and you're not improving your economy.
I don't know what the average wages are at Rogue Roasters.
It isn't above the median income.
Right.
I can tell you that. I don't, you know, there isn't a coffee shop putting people to work at that kind of level.
So our loan, you know, the difference between our loan program and like a commercial bank is that we're not tied to return on investment. We're about adding or retaining jobs, so we can look at it a little bit differently, and we're really established to be a gap financer.
Right.
We come alongside a bank and we'll take a second behind the bank to get the deal done.
That sounds great.
And that's one area where we're not necessarily only focused on traded sector. So this case in Cave Junction is not traded sector. We have lent to restaurants. We helped Klamath City. That was one of our loans in the past. We've had many, many loans. Oregon Swiss Precision, we helped them. There's a traded sector company.
Yeah.
We helped them establish their new location.
Margin
Steen, Encore Ceramics.
The tough thing about not doing a traded sector specifically is the Wild River Pizza and Brewing Company. They didn't get a loan. How many other coffee shops out there?
Did they ask for
a loan? They didn't get a $50,000.
In my opinion, it's not necessarily the first priority for government as an extension to do that. You're kind of picking people who knew the system or have,
right.
and those who didn't. But traded sector, you're not competing against anybody here for any one of those traded sectors. Taylor Sausage, there's nobody competing with them in Josephine County that I'm aware of.
Right.
Part rises.
Well, maybe they're trying to get into that, but they're not.
They're different.
Yeah.
They're different.
So
yeah.
That's where you don't get into picking winners and losers when you're focused on traded sector and you're bringing economy in as opposed to cultivating the idea of exchanging dollars within the community. And that's just my philosophy on economic development. It needs to be pretty strategic because we do have limited resources. And
well, thank you for your time. I want to just say thank you for your membership. Also, you are one of our founding fathers. So, you know, 30 years ago this year, you and Jackson County, Grants Pass, and the City of Medford came together to create a regional economic development agency. And that's so great. We're still going.
Yeah.
I have to say that the people that are on staff are really passionate and ethical people. Some of them have flexible schedules and things like that, but we really have quality people working on the behalf of the entire region. And it's really just a kind of a blessing to be working with them every day, quite honestly. I wanted to share, in case you didn't see it, that Mary Beth's mother passed away this week. And so, we're down one person right now for a few days. But we just come together to pick up the slack when one of us is gone. Your membership level, I hope you will consider maintaining that minimally, is $25,000 a year. And we send out those invoices in June, typically. The other thing that you've been doing for the last 2 years, and I'm not sure that you were aware of this, but
you may send them out in June. So we're
June
most
May.
Of us are municipalities, and you know that our fiscals, they're all on that ending in June. So it might, just as a suggestion, we receive membership requests from a whole host of organizations, and those usually come in to January, February, so we put it in the budget.
Yeah.
So there isn't that.
If you need something sooner, I'm sure that we can arrange that.
We've
been doing it now.
But I would, it doesn't hurt to maybe just
put
in
June.
All municipalities,
yeah.
Their budgets are
been,
done in June.
Okay.
So just as a thought.
Yeah. So $25,000. This may come as a surprise to you, but your membership has not changed since day one. It's been $25,000 since 1987.
When I came on the board, there was a $49,500 allocation that we did.
That was a special contract.
Kind of like what they did in Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
And those are always options, I think, on the table to propose to the
right.
board.
The one thing I will tell you, that the last 2 years you've also given us a separate allocation of grant money for $10,000, and that has helped fund the EDGE program. Okay, so you provided $10,000 in 2015 and then again 2016. I would hope that I could make a request for that additional amount again to continue the efforts. The profiles that are in process right now for Justin County include Duralast, AllCare, and Fire Mountain Gym. And then probably Master Brands will come after that. Sometimes with the corporate, it's a whole other path to get there. I have visited the corporate headquarters last year for Master Brand Cabinets and also Duralast. That was one of my trips. It was cold, 9 degrees.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, when I went to trade show, then I went and visited three corporate headquarters in Michigan. Duralast is based in Michigan. And Master Brands is in a place called Jasper, Indiana.
Is Crosscraft on your radar?
Crosscraft is actually a recipient of Enterprise Zone benefits,
okay.
and we reach out to them regularly.
They seem to constantly be putting in different, you know, adding to their...
Yeah, they've had several Enterprise Zone applications. So the other thing with the Enterprise Zone, you're not limited to just one. You could do a project now, in 3 years, you could start a new application.
Yeah.
The caveat is you have to add 10% more employees. Okay, so if Crosscraft came in today and they want to do a new one, they'll have to add another 16 or 17 employees for the next project they do.
Which they typically do.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so...
Colleen, I don't want to keep you too long, but there's one thing I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So it's been a real challenge for me for the last 4 years having the board's previous delegate to the SoReady board. I can count the number of reports from that commissioner on one hand, and maybe don't even need to use that many fingers. So I totally endorse what you guys are doing. I think the bang for the buck for $25,000, what we're getting, is well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always very well conveyed to the rest mm-hmm. of the board and the community at large. And so what I would encourage is for this board is very interested in participating and engaging and hearing about everything that's going
mm-hmm.
on. If any way we can partner better with SoReady to hear that message, I was really excited to hear about your leadership taking that role. I think that's a perfect fit. I think you did the job when I was there earlier as your liaison 6 years ago really, really well, and I'm sure you're going to do a great job going forward.
Thank you.
In this position.
Well, what I would like to propose
that gap for communication
is what I do with the other jurisdictions. I just come and do a quarterly report.
That would be great.
And also, this is kind of what it looks like with everybody
yeah.
else, but this happened to be the overview. So usually it's a February, it's every, it's always the month after the end of a quarter or so we can just get the data together.
Like
we go see Medford, we see all
years.
Of them.
Sure. That would be awesome.
So that's what we do, and then of course, glad to have you join us on the board. You're always invited to any of the events.
Yeah.
Or if you just want to know about something specific, I will come. You don't have to wait for the quarterly report.
That'd be great.
We are over here frequently. Kathy spends a day here every week. Nolan comes over periodically, he's our loan manager, to visit and check in with loan clients. And then I'm over here usually at least every other week, depending on what the need is.
I have no idea.
We're here. It's just that we don't.
I'm thinking that you come over here once a year when you make your report.
Oh, no. We're over here frequently.
Yeah.
We have our business recruitment and retention committees. They go back and forth between Jackson and Josephine County. Our board member meetings go back and forth.
So we're
really activities over here.
I mean, we consolidated planning, building and safety, and economic development under community development director to spear that off, to hedge against the whole regulation to a point of stagnation, and that's going to be great with our new director. The strategy that the board and the city council is trying to work jointly on with Cave Junction, they did their own economic development strategy initiative. And outlining those specific impediments to developing business, which the industrial park out in IV, the parallel taxiway at the Grants Pass Airport, trying to get, that was a regional solutions project that nobody's ever done an airport focused project through them. We're interested in getting in the trenches and figuring how do we move this stuff
and
forward.
And you may or may not know that we're also co-located with the regional solutions team. They're all with us. So we have it works out really well for us to talk about projects and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you again for your membership. On the grant portion, that was something that Commissioner Walker had instigated. I don't know what the process is. How would you like me to make a proposal to you to ask about the additional dollars to cover the EDGE campaign, or what would you like? What's the process that you would like for me to follow?
I'm comfortable with the program because I think it's been in place for a while. We've been doing it. The bang for the buck, I think, is probably pretty positive. You can see those things in the airport when you go over there.
I'm so
great.
I was so excited
everywhere.
About that one.
They look great.
Are you flying tomorrow?
They look great. So I don't need to, but I think they are, and I'd love to have our new Julie Schmelzer come in because she's going to be presenting a whole new budget for economic development dollars. We get about $350,000 a year. And so how she wants to allocate that 10, the 25, and everything else, I think I've instructed her. Everything's on the table. So
should I speak to her about this?
I just coordinated with her.
Okay.
That is part of maybe a comprehensive...
Related to membership, there's one thing I wanted to tell you. So we know that the Jackson County contract is going to go away, the special contract, which was $150,000. And so we will have to backfill some of that. And so what that money really was intended for us when it was seeded was to do more outreach activities and get our staff back up because we went through the recession. We had to downsize.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But we knew that was really established as seed money to leverage other private sector and public sector investment. So what I've been trying to do is instead of
you guys all came in as equal players 30 years ago, but now we're trying to move to more of a population equity formula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for example, the city of Medford now gives us $57,000 a year. And we're looking, and what we did is we started with Josephine County and Grand Staff, you as the, you know, the benchmark, the bottom, the base, right? And it was right around 70 cents or so for Grand Staff a person. And so we took that and we applied it. We're applying that to the other communities. That's why Medford went up to 57,000. We're not asking Grand Staff necessarily to jump up, but we're trying to get...
Well, but if you populate, if you based on population...
Yeah.
You're consistent. You're not overcharging somebody.
That's
you're not
right.
Undercharging somebody.
So you
kind
may
like your franchise fee. You got to charge. Everybody has to pay it.
Yeah. So you may see as you sit on our board meetings, you're going to start seeing financials that says, you know, Medford in at $57,000. That doesn't mean they get more services. It's just that it's a population ratio. And I went to the city of Ashland, and they're going from a very small membership of $5,000 this current year to $10,000, and then up to $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
To get up to that same level. The only thing I would ask you to consider, and maybe this is with Julie, is to maybe consider a little bit more investment in SoReady, just because it's been 30 years and you're still at that same level and things go up, or what is it you want us to do?
30 years ago, we had this much money.
Yeah, I know
it. And now we have this much money. So we haven't, it's not like, gee, we're not flush.
No,
we're
in
worse shape
than
ever.
And you really are kind of the base, and having the additional support that just comes for the edge, that really helps us considerably. But I wanted you to know about the strategy to change it to more of a formula base.
I like that
instead
idea.
Instead of just everybody in.
And the way we've kind of adopted allocating to the four provided four departments was that you're going to get a base. And so maybe your base is $25,000, and then you get to apply for other types of ancillary programs.
And we're happy with that.
We're going to put our targeted dollars to these specific things. And then we have something tangible to go back to them and say, no, 25 is what our base, and it's been there for 30 years. But we also contributed for these four things, and they're doing this.
These programs came up, and we're buying into these programs.
And we've been over here two times for our annual meeting, which we rotated around.
Mm-hmm.
And when those come around, we usually ask the city, wherever that event is going to be for annual meeting, to be a sponsor, and it's usually a couple $1,000 to be the host sponsor. But those are the only things, and then you sponsor, there's one thing, our annual site consultant tour, and we bring in site consultants. Last year, we actually brought in actual clients. I skipped over that part, but we brought in three companies. One was from Iowa, one was from Michigan, and the other was from Southern California. We pay for them to be here to see your community. And Dennis Roller participated, Susan C. Ryder, Julie Schmelzer,
mm-hmm.
all were involved in that because we go to all the communities. Mm-hmm. I was just sharing there are other few things that we asked for.
That's true, I remember that. Yeah.
So I think that's all I have, unless you have something else you want.
That's
for you.
Good, thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll post those.
And check that out in the airport tomorrow. So it's on. You can't see when you go through security. It's on those windows between security and the
where
you walk out.
Yeah,
it's
where you walk. You can't
where,
see them.
Where you get your luggage?
Because you see right through it. So the benefit, we got a really good deal on this. Those windows. But on the other side, you see we have eight profiles up there. The ones that from your region, I think, is Met1. And Rogue Wilderness Adventures, I think, is up there. Huge.
Brad and Iva.
Pictures.
Huge.
Brad and Iva, yeah. And so what it does, which was a benefit to the airport, was people walking out can't see the people being screened necessarily, so it provided some security.
Oh, I see. Okay, it's one way.
So on those windows as you walk out, it's like,
and there's another one that's just already advertising at the baggage pickup.
There's that one, too. That's 15 profiles around that, but... These, you know, and these are really becoming useful in so many other ways. Kathy Troutman was talking about workforce. Now what we're doing is we're taking these and we're matching them up to the types of careers that might be in, a Met1 or someone. And we're saying, and we're doing displays that are in the high schools. So the high school students say, wow, I'd really like to go work for Lynx Technologies. What do I need to do? That sounds fabulous. And it will say, take math skills.
And then the pathway is Rogue Community College. You could go here and do this, or you can go on to SAU, or you can go to OIT. Mm-hmm. We're trying to map out those pathways and make the connection. So that was never a thought when I first came up with the idea a while ago. And now it has so many other
applications.
So, and the other thing we're going to be working on is Rob, who's our community development manager. He's going out now to talk to some of the primary business hotels in the region to talk about what we might have there. Because anytime you go to a hotel, it's on their television, what to do, businesses. So we're trying to find other ways we can reach business travelers that are in the region.
Well, we're going to have to back, because there's a lot to talk about, I think.
There is. So I'll just get on the schedule.
That would be great.
Probably be June or something like that.
Okay.
Going on. Let's look at the calendar and see.
April or May.
That'd
be great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
your time.
Thank you. It dawned on me, and I wrote this as a note. Do you mind doing a thank you note to ODOT for finally removing those trees for the North Valley Industrial Park? The ODOT finally removed those trees that are impacting the North Valley Industrial Park billboard up there. We've got thank you notes. You can just I don't mind doing it, or you're the liaison. And then we should
type it up and all.
Yeah, sure.
We'll get that electronic signature going.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then a condolence card. We'll have one of those in the signature file for Mary Beth.
Cool. I was wondering about that too. I noticed. I read that Club Northwest hit 20 years.
No.
Made me think that would
be a congratulations card.
That'd be really nice.
Yeah. Thinking of those things when they come up, you can just put them in the signature place and just put it what it's for, and then we sign it.
That'd be great.
Are there any other folks out in the valley to recognize? It was recommended that Gary Sauer be recognized for all the work that he volunteered with the snow and helping neighbors and just saying, hey, thank you for being.
I don't know.
I didn't know if there was any.
Probably search and rescue.
No, he's just a person who lives out there who just went above and beyond helping the neighbors and helping the community out. And, you know, one of those things that when you kind of see somebody gets recognized, you're like, hey, we should do.
We can make up the cards with thank you and give you 10 or 15, and you can write your own notes and send out.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. And Rob Brandis and I are compiling a list of all the different problems and things that we took care of. I got a lot of calls from, I got one from out on Dick George Road, and they never filed, you know, and this and that and anything. And so those are logistics things that we're going to have to work with, and we just got a list of them. So one on Jen Vertiglen that he's handling as we speak. I think we've got the barricades out. I think we're doing okay. But we're going to have a list, because this is a one-shot deal, so that we're maybe a little bit better prepared what equipment to have in what area. Because they had 2.5 feet out there, and the guy said, oh, no, they had 2 plows down there at the corner, and I know where they took them, grass path. I said, we didn't have any snow. We had no need to plow. I said, everybody just foraged through it. 5 or 6 inches of snow is no big deal. Gone by noon. So I said, nothing left your area. It's probably just sat somewhere else in your area, but not in your street.
Yeah.
But he was okay when we got all that talking.
We'll see you this afternoon at 3:00.
Thank you.
We're adjourned at 12:03.